Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me, it's coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me, renew in me the right spirit, lead to that secret, sacred place in you. Make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be
This is a new day that the Lord has given us, and certainly we are glad. It is May 15th, 2021, and this is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Maria Carey. I'm the president and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. We have an awesome spirit-filled lesson for you today. We thank God for my co-host who did such an outstanding job on last week, and certainly she will be back on next week. We're a tag team, and we get the job done as God has gifted us to do so. Praise God. Hallelujah. Make announcements before we get into our lesson, and we have a jam-packed lesson on today. Certainly, I want to say that Amazing Grace Ministries, we are conducting Old Testament survey classes, and certainly it is an awesome time. We're having an awesome time in the Lord. We have completed Genesis to Joshua, certainly rereading those books of the Bible. And if you want an understanding of the times that we're living in, praise God, I want to encourage you to come and participate in this class. This first part is just about up. We will take, it will be ending actually in June. Then we will take a summer break in July, and we will be back up with speed in August. Because when you're dealing with the books of the Bible, you got to deal with especially the Old Testament in parts. So it is our endeavor to get to 1st and 2nd Chronicles by the end of June, take a break, and then we will start up. And certainly I will let you know when registration will open up again. But we're having an awesome time, an awesome time. So if you have any questions, you can email me, Amazing Grace Ministries, and that's Amazing, AmazingGraceMinistries, @gmail.com. Of course, if you want more concerning or talk to me concerning one of the lessons that I aired, you can that we have aired, you can call me at 309-750-7584. And those of you, I thank God, and certainly I thank God that have sent donations. I will acknowledge those on next week. But if you haven't sent a donation, and those that have, thank you so much. Please, if this message or this lesson has blessed you, please sow a seed into this ministry. Certainly, we will put it in the ministry, and we are endeavoring to do a great work for the Lord. And you can send those to P.O. Box 438-411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. You can send it to AGMI, or Amazing Grace Ministries, in care of Maria Carey, or Dr. Maria Carey. Make the checks out to Amazing Grace Ministries, or you could just put AGMI, which stands for Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc. Thank you again for listening to this blog, Radio Land. I declare blessings upon you. I decree blessings upon you. I bind the enemy that's trying to attack your life, and certainly I speak life. Hallelujah. And if this lesson is good to you, text me. Text me and let me know. If you got something you want to talk about, Dr. Carey, I think this subject needs to be talked about. And wait till you hear the subject matter for today. So, you know, my number is 309-750-7584. So certainly we have a lesson. God gives us the lessons that will captivate your mind, that will stir you up, that will change your life, that will allow you to live a more abundant life. Certainly in this year 2021, is not saying you're not going to go through, because we are, because we're saints of the Most High God, and Satan is out there to kill, steal, and destroy. But the word says that Christ came that we might have life, and that life more abundantly. So this theme for May 21 is accessing the Holy of Holies, entering into the presence of God. And certainly if you was on the line last week, you heard an awesome lesson about the Holies of Holies, entering into the special place and that presence of the Lord, hallelujah, in which we're striving to be in. Well, Dr. Carey, what's the lesson for this week? I will tell you. I won't let you hang on any longer. That lesson is for this day. We're going to talk about trust or fear. You decide. I'm going to say that again. We're talking about trust or fear. You decide. Now, if you got your Bibles, I want you to open up your Bibles and turn to page Jeremiah chapter 38, and we're going to hit verses 14 to 23. And then I got one more scripture for you in Timothy. It's a scripture that we all quote. It's a familiar scripture, so I'm going to quote that. So let's read on. Oh, and I'm reading the New Living Translation this morning. I'm just going to give you just a little change. Zedekiah questions Jeremiah. One day King Zedekiah sent for Jeremiah and had him brought to the third entrance of the Lord's secretly. I want to ask you something, the king said, and don't try to hide the truth. Jeremiah said, if I tell you the truth, you will kill me. And if I give you advice, you won't listen anyway. So King Zedekiah secretly promised, as surely as the Lord our Creator lives, I will not kill you or hand you over to the man who want you dead. Lying. Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, this is what the Lord of God, the Lord God of heaven's army, the God of Israel, says. If you surrender to the Babylonian officers, you and your family will live, and the city will not be burnt down. But if you refuse to surrender, you will not escape. This city will be handed over to the Babylonians, and they will burn it down. But I am afraid to surrender. This is the 19th verse, and this is King Zedekiah. The king said, for the Babylonians may hand me over to the Judeanites, who have defeated to them, and who knows what they will do to me, and who knows what they will do to me. Jeremiah replied, you won't be handed over to them if you choose to obey the Lord. Your life will be spared, and all will go well for you. Listen to the Lord. 21. But if you refuse to surrender, this is what the Lord has revealed to me. All the women left in the palace will be brought out and given to the officers of the Babylonian army, raped. Then the women will taunt you, saying, what fine friend you have. They have betrayed and misled you. When your feet sank in the mud, they lift you up. They left you to your fate. All your wives and children will be led out of the Babylonians, out to the Babylonians, and will not escape. You will be besieged by the king of Babylonian, and the city will be burnt down. And this is the more familiar scripture that we all know, which is found in 2 Timothy 1, verse 1, 6 through 8. Very familiar scripture. Therefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gifts of God, which is in thee by the laying hand, the putting on of my hand. But God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony. If y'all underline that, I hope y'all got your highlighters. Underline that word, because that's a powerful word. And I'm going to say verse 8, starting over. But not thou therefore, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Certainly, we thank God for the reading of the word. You know, when we look at this, and let's give a brief history. In 612 BC, the political landscape of Eastern Asia changed forever. Nebuchadnezzar became the king of Babylon and proceeded to conquer territories and nations from the shores of the Persian Gulf, which is modern Iraq now, all the way to the continent of Africa. So this king took over territories. He destroyed, he took over cities. And this was the same king who got the three Hebrew boys and Daniel. So the Babylonians were a mighty powered distinct, and they would become the greatest empire in the history of human civilization. While Nebuchadnezzar was consolidating his empire, there was turmoil in Jerusalem. Josiah, the king, he was the king, the holy king. He did right in the sight of the Lord, and he was a beloved king of Judah. But he was wounded in battle in attacking the Egyptians in 609 BC, leaving the nation in turmoil, leaving the nation without a king once again. So once again, then Israel would serve the Egyptians. Now, remember now, biblical history, they were brought out of Egypt with Moses. So now, again, they have fallen to the Egyptians. So, but about this time, a young man named Jeremiah was beginning his prophetic ministry. And, of course, if you read Jeremiah 1 and 1, it gives that introduction. And then between 609 and 597 BC, there was about three other kings that will rise up and rule Judah. And that is listed, or that is outlined in 2 Kings 23, verses 29 and 36. So in 597 BC, Nebuchadnezzar returned to Jerusalem, which is recorded in 2 Kings 24:1. At this time, Jehoiakim was in the third month of his kingship. But Nebuchadnezzar overran Jerusalem, ransacked the temples. He took priceless artifacts, priceless treasure. He captured about 10,000 people. Now, he still hadn't destroyed it fully. The temple, the word says, according to verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar's army carried off all the princes, the mighty men of valor. So that's where you get Daniel and all of those, because he came in and he invaded the territory. So you got your craftsman. He took the person, the silversmith. He took the best of the individuals in the land. And so all that remained was the poorest people. This is what is referred to the first deportation of Babylon's exile. It included people like Daniel. It included the three Hebrew boys. And you can find that in Daniel 1, verses 1 through 7. And I'm going to read just one verse. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, which with part of the vessels of the house of God, which is carried into the land of Shamar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the temple and the treasures of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenazah, of the master of the Enoch, that he shall bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed of the priests, children in whom was with no blemish, but were but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding, science, and such as had the ability then to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So then it goes on to talk about the provisions, the daily provisions that the king wanted to give to those that he had besieged, those who he had taken, because he was looking for the best of the best. And, of course, the Lord allowed him to take the best of the best. In that siege was Daniel. In that siege were those three Hebrew boys. So, in essence, when we look at Daniel, of course, you know the story of Daniel. You know the story of the Hebrew boys. You know the lion's den. You know the fiery pit. So you also know that Daniel would not drink their wine or their meat. And in verse 5 of Daniel, it talks about the provisions, what the king wanted to give them. So this is going on around this same time. So you begin to see the story of what's happening in this area in which I'm talking about in Jeremiah 38. So in order to ensure that the politics will be carried out in Jerusalem, and the taxes would be collected. So now the first departure, King Nebuchadnezzar is in charge. He is dictating who he want to run Jerusalem. And he picks Josiah's third son king over Israel, according to 2 Kings 24 and 17. Nebuchadnezzar changed Methaniah and God picked Zechariah, but his name was Methaniah. So he changed his name, and later on we're going to talk about what his name meant, which is so irony. It's just the irony to what he ends up doing. Throughout all of these tremendous or tumultuous years, Jeremiah had been preaching that the nation of Judah need to repent and return to God. He preached that it was no accident that Jerusalem had been conquered by the Babylonians. Jeremiah had long prophesied the judgment would come to Judah. So let's look at the biblical records, okay? And the Bible says in 2 Kings 24 and 20, it reads, "For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah until he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylonia. 9 years Zedekiah reigned." And he began to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. And when Zedekiah rebelled, he got with some kings. And certainly we can get with people that will cause our downfall. We already acting out. This king, Zedekiah, the king that Nebuchadnezzar had appointed over Jerusalem, because at that time he had not destroyed it completely, but he puts a king over that does evil in the sight of the Lord. And this king, after 9 years, decides that he was going to get with some people and they were going to overtake the Babylonians, the king of Tyre, the Ammonite, and he goes back to the Egyptians to join their ill-advised plot to overthrow Nebuchadnezzar's rules. So the Babylonians would return again to Jerusalem in 589 B.C., and that we can find documented in 2 Kings 25, 1 through 3. And they laid siege to the city for nearly 2 years. During the period, there was scarcely any food. And it reads, "And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylonia, came, he and all his hosts, against Jerusalem, and picked it again." Now, picked it again. This is the second time. Picked it again. "And they built forts against it, round about it. And the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And on the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land." Sin will mess you up. The only thing that was abundant at that time in Jerusalem was fear, panic, and pessimism. So let's talk about some background. Let's talk about my main characters, and I want to talk about first Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah was the son of a priest. He was born in the city called Anatha, thank you, a village 3 miles northeast of Jerusalem. Jeremiah received his calling as a prophet in 626 BC, during the 13th year of King Josiah. The book of Jeremiah reveals the inner turmoil and the conflict out of which he delivered his prophetic burden. I want you to pay close attention to this young man, to this individual. I know we call him the weeping prophet, and I'm going to say that because he is known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah resisted his call to prophetic ministry, citing his youth as an obstacle. But I want you to know, when God calls you and you got a call on your life, you can't run, you can't hide, you can't maneuver, but all you can do is just say, "Yes, Lord, thy will be done." But God's call will not be resisted. That's apparent today. God has called you, you're leading, and you know that God has opened up some doors, and not even opened up the doors yet, but God has called you into ministry and called you to go forth, and you land slack. God's ministry, God's word, God's agenda is going to go forth. So Jeremiah followed his calling faithfully when he surrendered. But the road was hard. He was rejected by his people. Jeremiah 15 and 10, he was refused by their heart. He was frustrated by their hard-heartedness. He told them to repent. They wouldn't. Jeremiah 5 and 3. But despite all these difficulties, Jeremiah's experience, he could not resist what God called him to do. despite everything, despite wanting to stop, despite wanting to stop preaching the gospel, despite wanting to give the word, despite wanting to try to shut up and not say nothing. But God's call could not or would not be resisted. He declared the word of the Lord as the Lord had directed him. It was a compulsion. It was a must. It had to be done. It was dynamic. It was powerful. It was an inner motivation that made him prophesy. The word says, then I say, I will not make mention of him, which is God, nor speak any more in his name. But this word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary and with forbearing, and I could not stay. In essence, Jeremiah 29, it was shut up. We say it's shut up in my bones, shut up in my bones. The word of God was so in him. It was so much a part of him. He had to reveal it. How many of you guys been in situations where you know deep down you should have said something because it just burned in your belly and you refused to? You refused to say what God has given you to say. Fear. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about trust or fear. You decide what you going to do. How are you going to allow the Lord to motivate you and give you the word as we come out of this pandemic? We're getting ready to go back to our churches, but we should have a different attitude. We should know that because these things happen, something must be happening. God must be doing something. Let me finish. Y'all getting me excited. So, biblical scholars refer to him. These are people that have trained and studied the word as the sixth pre-exile Israelite prophet for Judah. His name in Hebrew means either the Lord exalts or the Lord throws down. I want to say the Lord throws down because the Lord throws down. Y'all, the Lord works it out. Hallelujah. Where you at? Say hallelujah. He's also known, as I said, the weeping prophet. So let's talk about King Zedekiah. So first of all, you know that he was one of the sons of Josiah. Satan's trying to take my tongue, but I bind him in the name of Jesus. So King Nebuchadnezzar, and some says he was the son of the uncle, but he took it from the uncle. But anyway, his name was Messiah. And King Nebuchadnezzar changes his name. And he changes his name. And when he changed his name, he changes his name to the Lord be exalted, or Yahweh is king. But he changes his name to represent, and I'm not, I read it, but Yahweh be exalted. So he changes his name to represent God, to represent the holiness of God. But I want you to know that he was nothing of what his name meant. This was the last king of Judah. He would be king when the temple was destroyed in 586 B.C., and most of the people were carried into exile. Zedekiah's original name was Methaniah, like I said. He was the son of King and the brother of King Joahaz and King Joachim. So J- He was 21 years old when he made when he was made to be king. Now, one of the things we need to know about Zedekiah was that he did evil in the sight of Zedekiah. Evil in the name, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did so much evil until it is recorded that he's the worst king that ever reigned in terms of turning the people to do evil in the sight of God and to sin. First of all, you ain't got that many people there in the first place, but you cannot do what the Lord has told you to do or follow the Lord. He couldn't even do that. So I want to switch to talk about something that I want to bring out later in this lesson. It's called archetypes. We are living with a brand or what society has of viewing society. What is called archetypes, and these archetypes is a psychology term made known by Carl Jung, and he theorized that humans use symbolism to more easily understand complex concepts. As a result of his research, he stated that there are forms of image of a collective nature which occurs particularly all over the earth as a consonant of myth and the same time as individuals produce of unconsciousness. In his work, Jung maintained that over the course of time for people, certain patterns of greater understanding remain recognizable and timeless, and these paths do greater understanding should be characterized. Further, these exhibit personality traits that are easily understood and in cases of brands by customers and by companies looking to define their customers' attitude. What are you saying, Dr. Kier? Okay, click on your phone. Say you're looking for a computer on your phone or your computer. You want to get a new computer. Now all of a sudden you got inbox in your emails of computers. Say you looking for a certain kind of shoe, or you looking for vitamins, or you click on something or do some type of research that you want. Now all of a sudden you have a floodgate of those things because are looking and studying you when you don't know they're looking and studying you. Every time you click on the phone, every time you click on this computer, people are making a note of what you're doing. And what they're doing, they're putting you in a group and categorizing you as to what you like, what you think, your attitudes, what you feel, how you deal, how you look at certain things, if you look at a certain thing, if you play a certain game, all of it is adding up to analyze your personality and what you like. And in that, they can anticipate your behavior. This is deep. So we get archetypes. These things are hardwired and imprinted on our psyche or our inner being. So, you know, there might be a person that want to be the hero, want to be the outlaw, want to be the ruler, want to be caregiver, and all of these, I'm a caregiver. So all of these have types. All of these fit into our psyche and who we are in our personality. So they reflect personality type, our persona, how we do things, how we apply our daily lives, how we operate, how we operate. Now, archetypes are a universal effect. So they're universal. They are a tool. They are a way of managing and focusing and looking at society at large. Okay, so let's get back to this. Hold on to that because I'm going to say more on it in terms of when I compare Jeremiah and Zedekiah. Now, King Zedekiah admitted that he was afraid of the Jews who had deserted to the Babylonians. While we may want to condemn him, we must be careful because fear has all human beings. Zedekiah's fear ultimately led to the destruction of Jerusalem. Fear is one of the most powerful strongholds found in the scriptures. The word fear appears in various forms more than 475 times in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The spirit of fear leaves many of God's people trapped in mediocrity living. Just living beneath our privilege, just living just halfway because we don't believe God. We don't believe God for our healing. We don't believe God will step us out into the supernatural. We don't believe God. Ooh, my goodness. Fear reduces God's people to a moral without adequate spiritual power to overcome the enemies of the kingdom of this, a kingdom of God, enemies of the kingdom of God. Fear does not go away when one enters ministry to serve the Lord. Church, sometimes Satan interferes or heightens the fear, hoping to demonstrate a person's willingness to serve or an ineffective witness. Timothy was a pastor. Paul himself laid hands on Timothy, impacting the presence and the power of God upon him. But Paul still had to encourage him. Fear is a spiritual foe that seeks to overshadow the work of God in a person's life. It undermines the courage necessary for the work of the ministry. This fear is not to be confused with the fear of God, which refers to the reverence that we give God, the Almighty, and the respect we give God. Neither does it compare to any type of emotional impulse. Rather, it is the ungodly influence that seeks to conquer the heart and erect barriers of spiritual impotence. Satan wants to take our power. He wants to take our strength. He wants to leave us impotent and not operating under the power and the anointing of the Lord. The spirit of fear is most active when a believer is too intimidated to actively use the gifts and authority that God gives you. How many out there going to use your gift for God? How many out there going to use the authority that God has given you? And you decide to walk in trust of the Lord. Those who are afraid to use their spiritual gifts deny God the chance to get the glory from your spiritual or his spiritual work. The spirit of fear works to oppose the spirit of boldness that God has placed within us, the heart of the believer. One's overcoming the spirit of fear requires the person's putting his or her trust in God. The Lord has promised to keep those who places their trust in him. Isaiah 26:3-4 reads, "Thou wouldst keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Praise the Lord. I got a little bit more. So when we look at the biblical background, when we see Jeremiah chapters 37-39 describes the events that led to the final days of the southern kingdom. There are parallels detailed in 2 Kings 24-25 and in the prophetic words of Jeremiah. After Nebuchadnezzar takes Jehoiakim captive, he appoints his uncle, and we've talked about that. We talked about the fact that he changed Mathaniah's name to Zedekiah, and I was struggling with the name. I knew it was in the notes, and here it is. The Lord exalted. The Lord throws down again. So in essence, he did none of this. Now let's compare Zedekiah and Jeremiah. Now understand, we talked about archetypes. Here are two archetypes. So, and before I do that, I want to explain the situation here. Now, the king Zedekiah sends for Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah is already in prison. He's been in prison. Matter of fact, he's been in prison so much until he was in prison one time where he, the second time he was in prison, they put him in this place where it was just nothing but mud. And there took 30 men, a high position Enoch, whose name was Ebed-Melech. Thank you. Ebed-Melech. And he took them and pulled him out of the mud. And if he did not have pulled him out of the mud, he would have died. But yet here is Jeremiah. Jeremiah has been summoned by the king. He has been summoned to secrecy. He's been summoned to the third entrance of the temple, to where nobody would see this conversation go on. Now, this particular king kind of allows Jeremiah to remain out of prison, but yet he says, look, you know, I saved your life, and so I need to hear a word. I need you to tell me the truth. And Jeremiah says, man, you're going to kill me. You're going to kill me if I tell you the truth. And he has him promise not to do that. This is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about fear. I'm talking about trust in the Lord. Jeremiah is almost certainly facing death, and yet he speaks truth to power. He tells the king, thus says the Lord. He says two things. You're going to kill me, and you're not going to listen anyway. And the king says, well, I ain't going to kill you. But he didn't promise not to throw him back in jail. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we know the story. We go on, and we find that the king says, I'm afraid. I am afraid of what people are going to say. But God said, you ain't got to be afraid. I'm going to take care of you. But he didn't listen. He didn't listen, and therefore we see that he refused to obey the will of the Lord. Thus, his kingdom was taken, and this time, this third time, the Babylonians just tore it up. Blind him, just tore it up, raped his women, destroyed the temple completely. And this did not have to happen, but he refused to obey the will of the Lord. So when we talk about archetypes, now Zedekiah's type is more present in our society than Jeremiah. We got people that's doing whatever they want to, doing it however they want to do it. And I said Zedekiah's name was the Lord exalted, but I got confused with Jeremiah. That's the name, that's what Jeremiah's name, it meant the Lord's exalted and the Lord throw down, which I said earlier. Now, Zedekiah's name is Yahweh is righteous. Thank you. Zedekiah's name that he was given is Yahweh is righteous. But that's really ironical because he was so evil in the sight of the Lord. So when we look at these two archetypes, when we look at these two types, which type will you be? Will you be the Zedekiah type that is lacking, that's not lacking in society, that will go on with what's going on in the world, that adheres to ungodly leadership, that disobeys the word of the Lord, that's leading the countries and fighting against the Lord? Or will you be the Jeremiah type, that type that's rare, that type that's going to stand on the word of God, that's going to speak truth to power, that's going to declare the word of God in season and out of season, no matter the effects, no matter if the harm it calls us, but we're going to speak up and say, thus say the Lord, when that fire is burning in our belly, when we hear and the unctions of the Lord to move, when God gives us to speak to that person and tell them a word, we're going to trust and believe God, because in our trusting and believing God, God will show up. Why? Because he wants the glory anyhow. This is his work. This is his world, and we are his people, and therefore we must act accordingly. We can't compromise. We can't be weak. We can't be afraid. We must proclaim the word of God fearlessly, giving the people the word, not what they want to hear. Thus say the Lord of God. This is wrong. Sin is wrong. Be holy and live according to the scriptures. They're not out of date. They're in date. And if you look at history, history repeats itself. And we see the same thing that's going on in the Bible that is happening now. People are hard-hearted. They do not want to listen to instruction. They want to do their own thing, and they don't want to live for the Lord. But those of us that's standing on the banner, those of us that's lifting up the blood of the Lamb, those of us that have a clarion call to speak truth to power, to say that God is still in the saving business, God is still in the healing business. Thus said the Lord, put away your strange gods and serve me alone. I got to stop. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to come before your presence. We pray, God, for those that have gotten off the line, that had to leave. We pray for them, God. We pray for those that have stuck with me during this long lesson. Father God, we pray, God, that you move. But God, you needed to get the word out. And I pray, God, that people will hear this lesson to know what you're saying, God. Is it trust or fear? We decided. I, my house, like Joshua said, will serve the Lord. I want to serve you, God. We want to serve you. And I'm declaring that everyone that listens to this blog will declare that same promise to you, that we shall serve the Lord. We shall lift up the blood-stained banner. We shall honor you with our money, our tithes, our substance, our mouth, and our being. We will reign with you, God. We will lift up your standards like never before. As we come out of coronavirus, as we go back in our churches, we will speak truth. That truth is God still saves, and you need to know him and the pardon of your sins. God, somebody that may hear this blog, give them a mind, give them a conviction to change their life if they're not walking right. And those that hear this word, God, allow them to be strengthened and encouraged. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you for staying this long. Praise God. I hope you enjoyed it. Click. Send me a text and let me know next week you're here. Our co-host. God bless. Bye-bye.